This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. You know, it's very easy to say that when you've uncovered a moral or legal crime that you should say something. You know, be a whistleblower.
But just ask yourself, would you really do it? Would you have the courage to blow the whistle, especially when you discover the crime was perpetrated by the U.S. government?
Yeah, I was there with my partner, actually, and I ran over to him and I said, Bill, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, look at this.
Susan Reverby is a professor of women's studies at Wellesley College. She spent much of her career studying the history of one of the most notorious medical experiments in American history, the 1930s Tuskegee experiment, in which government scientists studied black men with syphilis.
In 2009, Reverby found an old box of correspondence, the thing she wanted her partner to look at. And while it had nothing to do with Tuskegee, the parallels were shockingly similar.
Like Tuskegee, the correspondence revealed that in the 1940s, American scientists studied another group of people with venereal diseases.
Like Tuskegee, the patients were never fully informed and many of the patients died.
And like Tuskegee, the correspondence contained evidence that at the time, some of the scientists knew what they were doing was wrong.
I think the sentence that really threw me off my chair more than anything else was a letter from a colleague who said, I've talked to the Surgeon General. He says, we couldn't do this in the United States.
And in fact, they weren't. Susan Reverby had uncovered a Tuskegee-like study, but one that had taken place in Guatemala.
Well, Susan Reverby did blow the whistle. She went to the federal government with her findings, and we talked to her last year about that. We've invited her back today because this month, a presidential commission released the results of its investigation. It is a sharply worded report titled simply, Ethically Impossible. Susan Reverby, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me back on the show.
Professor, if I just may read to you a couple sentences from the report, they're quite striking. It's written, in the commission's view, the Guatemala experiments involved unconscionable basic violations of ethics, even as judged against the researchers' own recognition of the requirements of the medical ethics of the day. The individuals who approved, conducted, facilitated, and funded these experiments are morally culpable to various degrees for these wrongs. Your reaction to these findings?
I was delighted that they made such a strong statement. You can often expect government reports to be pretty wishy-washy, and this one was very direct and clear about the culpability and what they called blameworthiness of the people involved in the study.
And I guess part of the blameworthiness rises all the way up to the fact that this was government-funded. I mean, this was from the Public Health Service in the 1940s. The key difference between this study and the Tuskegee one is this one happened in Guatemala, off U.S. shores.
It's actually quite different than Tuskegee in two major ways. First of all, there was an attempt in this one to treat. So the numbers are a little unclear, but more than half of the people who were given the disease here were treated. And the second major difference is that in Tuskegee, no one was given syphilis by the government. It was an attempt to look at long-term syphilis. This one, people were being inoculated with syphilis. Gonorrhea and chancroid.
Well, and in this case, the commission went and looked at some, 125,000 original pages of documents. They also talked to almost 600 secondary sources, even did some fact-finding trips to Guatemala. Upon reading the report, do you feel like they've discovered anything new that wasn't evident in your initial correspondence that you found?
I was quite relieved, as you can imagine, as a scholar, that the broad outlines of the story that I told was correct. What they fill in is who in the government was involved in it, why did the permission get given, and they make a big difference between a study that was done at Terre Haute Penitentiary in which informed consent was gotten from the prisoners, but the extent to which no informed consent was attempted here in Guatemala.
Well, the reason why they make that difference is because it's the same group of researchers.
That's correct.
So they understood that when doing research, you should try to get consent from the subjects or the people that you're doing the research on. They did that in the United States, but they went out of their way to not do that in Guatemala.
They made it really clear that they were trying to hide what they were doing, and that wasn't true here in Terre Haute. So that's really important in trying to understand a historic event like this. What standards do you use to judge it?
Well, we should say that, once again, this happened in the 1940s.
46 to 48.
And, here we are in 2011. There are institutional review boards that give their consent to any experiments that are done on, quote-unquote, human subjects. In the United States, those review boards are very rigorous. But the report raises this question that, or a concern that such standards are not, they're not standard around the world, that wherever you're doing your research, there's a high variety or variability to what the standards are.
There's also variability in the United States as well. So people ask me all the time, could this happen? Is this happening now? And my answer is no, not like this. But are there things going on now that we would, in a few years, are going to think were really awful? Probably. And one of the things we have to worry about is that 80% of the drugs coming into the United States now are done on trials done outside the United States border. So how do we know what's going on in other countries and how that research is being conducted?
Well, and this is a trend that's only likely to grow because of the fact that so many more of these phase three trials especially are being done overseas, and the companies themselves doing them are located overseas many times.
That's right, except that if you want to get FDA approval to sell the drug here, you have to pass through an IRB. So and many countries do have decent standards. We just don't know, and they can't always be investigated.
Do you know of any push to actually create some kind of global standards?
There's been attempts at sort of what's called harmonization, attempt to get the standards similar. And the Bioethics Commission has set up a committee to look at this, and their report will be out in December.
So as a historian and someone who has such an intimate knowledge with the Tuskegee experiments, what is your takeaway from all this? What is this telling you about the state of research then and now?
I think the now question is for us, what do we do with this history? How do we learn from it? And I think my greatest worry as a historian is that people will look at both Tuskegee and say, oh, those were racists. That was a long time ago. They'll look at Cutler and say, oh, this was an imperialist Yankee dog, you know, in a third world country. And they cannot imagine that they would do research like this. And so I think the extent to which we understand that Cutler thought what he was doing was cutting edge and important research really matters.
So this is the first time we've actually mentioned the name of Cutler. Could you just describe to us briefly who that is?
John Cutler was a 31-year-old public health service officer who was in charge of the study when he went, and he really thought what he was doing was important research. And frankly, if he had discovered that penicillin could be used to stop infection after you'd had unprotected sex and could have passed a disease, we probably would have given him the Nobel Prize.
Well, last question to you is that, you know, one of the key things here is that this was government funded. And in fact, the report identifies that culpability goes all the way up to those people who choose to fund such research. Is there anything that the United States government can do in order to, through its funding mechanisms, help raise standards and to be sure that such experiments don't happen again?
I think there just has to be awareness of the possibility that something this cutting edge, which is what it was, could in fact be dangerous. And we have to just have lots of people on these boards who can say, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Susan Reverby, professor of women and gender studies at Wellesley College and author of Examining Tuskegee, the Infamous Syphilis Study and Its Legacy. Thank you so much for coming back to Radio Boston and discussing the findings of this study called Ethically Impossible, STD Research in Guatemala from 1946 to 1948. Thank you again.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And coming up on our program, the Red Sox and their historic September collapse. But wait a minute, they won last night. Are reports of their demise premature? Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.